Hi everyone, welcome to the Hero Podcast. My name is Mauricio Porras and I am the founder of Hero. Hero is a global network of activists that will shift the future of activism. We're currently in the process of building a new social media platform that will allow anyone, anywhere in the world, to become an activist, get paid by individual supporters to make their work sustainable over time, and get connected with other activists on a global scale to accelerate change. We're working hard to launch the beta version of our Hero app this year. So make sure you join the waiting list at heroactivism.com to gain early access. In this episode, our guest is Anuna de Wever. We talked about how she became a human rights activist and began the climate strikes in Belgium, about the climate crisis and the lack of action from political leaders, about the strategies to stay below 1.5 degrees, about the global climate strike to demand no more empty promises, about the importance of passing the mic and amplifying diverse voices in the climate movement, and also the importance of compensating activists around the world to accelerate change. So give it a listen, and I hope you enjoy it. Anuna, welcome to the Hero Podcast. Thank you so much for being a guest. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So, Anuna, let's talk a little bit about activism, about the global climate strike, but also how did you become an activist?
Well, personally, I became an activist because I've actually always been very concerned about human rights. And so already when I was younger, my parents took me to refugee camps, for example, to understand the fact that the world is just unequally distributed and that I am luckily on the right side, but that it's not because I deserve that, it's just because I was born there. So it's pure coincidence. And so I've always been very interested in human rights and making the world a more equal place, et cetera. And at some point I realized that the climate crisis is actually the biggest human rights crisis ever. And we are going towards a sixth mass extinction. And those people that are already underprivileged will be facing the most consequences of climate change. And so that's basically when I started to realize that I wanted to become a climate activist in order to be a human rights activist. And then I sat together with some friends and we discussed possibilities. And at some morning, my mom showed me a little article about Greta Thunberg. She was striking in Sweden back then, completely alone. It was a very small thing back then. And I realized I cannot go to Sweden, obviously, to go sit next to her, but I can help her from Belgium. And that's when I started to organize the strikes in Belgium. And it were first 3,000 and then 15,000 and then 30,000. And it kept going. And then it kind of also exploded in Europe. And there were just thousands of people on the streets marching for climate ambition. And that's, I guess, the kickstart of my climate activism.
Yeah, what a start. And did you imagine like the outcome of everything that was going to happen after you organized that first strike in Belgium?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I didn't know that there would be so many people in the first place. So that was a huge surprise. But it became very clear directly that especially the younger generation was very keen on showing a lot of ambition and going to the streets every week. And that was just extremely amazing. But the political reaction on that was absolutely disappointing. And there you could really see the difference between the younger generation and our politicians that are not listening to the younger generation, not listening to science. And for me, that was a big surprise because I thought there's so many young, engaged people on the streets fighting against the climate crisis, showing that they want to have ambitious policies and that they want to be a part of the solution and that they are also ready to change. And then you have politicians just completely disregarding that and calling us out and telling us to go to school. And that was such a childish, disappointing reaction. And for me, that outcome of the climate strikes was very unexpected. And on the other hand, we did mobilize millions of people all around the world. And we know now that we had a huge influence on a political level as well. For example, in Europe, having the European Commission implementing the Green Deal, making this promise of being carbon neutral by 2050, etc. Those are things that would have never happened if you wouldn't have started the climate strikes.
Of course. And well, you've had the chance to have important conversations with important global leaders, right? And politicians.
Yeah.
And how do you feel? Do you feel hopeful about, you mentioned earlier that, well, not all politicians are taking actions as we would like to, but there's a certain group of leaders that maybe they are willing to start taking some actions. What is your, maybe the feeling that you get out of these important meetings and conversations? Is there hope for significant change coming?
Yeah, there's always hope. Obviously, otherwise we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. But the biggest problem I've come to notice in the political world is not politicians that deny climate change, because luckily enough, they're not actually being taken seriously anymore. It's mm-hmm. more politicians that are minimizing climate change and the effects of it and what it means to be affected by climate change as a human being, and the fact that we'll be having millions of climate refugees, the fact that regions and countries will be uninhabitable because of droughts and fires. And so these facts about the climate crisis are being minimized, and therefore it's, well, impossible to treat the crisis like a crisis. And it also, mm-hmm. it has an effect in the political world and the policies that are being implemented, but it also has a huge effect on people on the streets, because a lot of people really think that we are having the climate crisis under control and that politicians are doing exactly what is needed. With, for example, that Green Deal and that climate target by 2050, while we climate activists, we know what the science is telling us, and we know that we are very far away from where we have to be. We also know about the concept of tipping points and feedback loops, which basically means that climate change can become irreversible. And this will happen in less than 8 years. So this is horrible, and people don't know about it. And people don't know about it because politicians are minimizing it, because politicians are not talking about it publicly. And so when we are in these meetings, you just notice how surprised they are of the sense of urgency we have. And I feel like sometimes politicians even think that it is some kind of act that we put on the streets because we want to have extreme action. But actually, we genuinely basically want extreme radical action, because that is what science is demanding from us.
Yeah, and it's actually for our own survival. I mean, it's not even, we're not even in a point that it's something that we would like the world to be better, of course, but it's just about surviving. And I think that comes with the sense of urgency that all activists are putting on the streets with the strikes and calling out for, as you said, radical action. So Anuna, what is it going to take to reach for that 1.5 degrees goal? I mean, when we talk about radical action, what is it going to take from politicians and world leaders and people as well for us to reach that goal?
Well, it's going to take a system change. And now we see, if you want to stay in between that carbon budget and not reach that tipping point, and therefore also stay below 1.5 degrees, we have to look at the 2030 target and see how much more emissions are we going to emit by 2030. And now we have a plan of having a reduction of 55%. But if we would take it seriously, it would be more like 80 or 85%. And this means that all member states of the EU, but just every country in the world in general, needs to have annual reduction targets. But to have such huge emissions reductions every year, we need to change our system. We cannot have an economy anymore that is exploiting planetary boundaries, but also humans. And we need to make a world where in green energy is, well, the fundamental baseline of where we get our energy from. We need to make a world that is circular. We need to make a world that is more solidaire with each other. And so this is a complete system change, because right now our society is addicted to fossil fuels. Almost everything we do and eat and wear is based on fossil fuels, and that just needs to change. And the thing is that the solutions are already there. We also know on an economic aspect, which is something that politicians often point at because they think it's impossible economically. No, it is actually very possible. And a lot of economic scientists or economic climate scientists have already said that it is way more positive to make huge investments now already, because the money that we're going to have to spend to fight, for example, when the Amazon becomes a savanna, or when the oceans are acid, you know, the costs that it has to repair that or at least mitigate that are huge, instead of just making investments now and trying to already do that system change. And so what we need is drastic action. What we need is politicians that treat the climate crisis like a crisis. And therefore, we need politicians that are willing to relook at the system from a macro perspective and touch upon all these kinds of different sectors. And that's a huge thing. And you realize that a lot of politicians are not ready for that. A lot of politicians have lived their entire careers believing in the current economic system. And it's kind of a religion for them. And so also in these meetings, I notice how hard it is for them to realize that it's going to have to change, and that we're going to have to stop living off this economy that is exploiting so many people and our planetary boundaries. And we also need to start looking at people that are actually way more educated on the topics of climate change. For example, indigenous people and communities in the Amazon forest. We have so much to learn from them. But because of our white privilege, we are blind, too blind to look at it and to see and to be educated about what it all means. For example, the Amazon forest is kind of the lungs of the planet together with the oceans. It's responsible for more than 20% of the oxygen. It also hydrates the entire continent, Latin America. And so it's necessary for survival. It's literally necessary for humanity's survival. And the Amazon is almost at a tipping point wherein we will just become a desert, a savanna. And our politicians don't know that, or our politicians don't care. And if they would actually try and sit down and listen to indigenous leaders and communities about what they have to say about the Amazon, about their wisdom, and educate themselves on what the Amazon means for the world, then they would also handle it with way more care.
Yeah, and I think that, as you said, things need to change radically. And I think that the answers are there. I mean, we don't have to come up with some, you know, crazy futuristic innovation. I mean, it's already there. We just need to change the system. So Anuna, the global climate strike is coming right this Friday, March 19th. And as you're saying, no more empty promises, right? So what are some of the plans that are coming? How can people take action and get involved? And what is the importance of doing this global climate strike?
Well, it's very important because we need everyone around the world to be united. And we need all the climate activists around the world to show our leaders that we are still united and we are still millions that are waiting to get back on the streets after COVID in a safe way and protest. And so in Belgium, what we're going to do is have a huge 20-meter banner, and we're going to lay it down in front of the federal parliament. And we're going to have drones kind of visualize what is happening there. We have a lot of people there, the maximum that is allowed during COVID now with protests. And we're going to try and go and make it viral on social media. And so these things are going to happen all around the world in a lot of different countries. Every country has its own action, but it's all based on the same idea of no more empty promises. And what a lot of people can do that are not able to go out on the streets but do have phones is posting on social media, using the hashtag, making sure that social media on Friday is flooded with visuals of people striking for the global strike. Because this is an important day for us to show again that we are united all around the world and that we are not going to take any more empty promises. And this is also a reference to a lot of the political decisions that have been taken this year that are just completely empty.
Yeah. And well, some of the key points, right, of this strike from the Fridays for Future website: end all investments in fossil fuel exploration and extraction, establish annual binding carbon budgets, design climate policies that consider the welfare of workers, protect and safeguard the democracy by providing spaces for repealing the laws and the limit of citizen participation, right? So yes. Among other requests. And well, we talked a little bit before starting the podcast about passing the mic and, you know, amplifying the voices of MAPA activists. So yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the importance of, you know, amplifying some of the voices in the movement that are not maybe being heard on mainstream media. So what is why is it important to amplify these voices and have these people heard?
Yeah, the media is a huge, they have a huge responsibility and they're not taking it right now. They're not communicating sufficiently on the science around climate change. They're not communicating on the political decisions that are being taken. They're not comparing those decisions to science, but they're also not representing those that are actually mostly affected by climate change in the media. And there's so many of our colleagues within the climate movement that are not at all getting the platforms that we as white privileged European activists are getting. And so this is the responsibility of the media. They need to try and redistribute that attention, because at the end of the day, when I'm talking about climate change, I'm talking about my future. But there are so mm-hmm. many people that are talking about climate change in their current lives. And those are the stories that matter. Those are the stories that should be that should be the baseline of the political decisions that are being taken today. And so those are also the stories that should be heard. And therefore, I'm also really working a lot with movements like MAPA, which is Most Affected People and Areas Individuals, and then also Pass the Mic. Mm-hmm. And these are movements that are really looking at how can we redistribute this attention and how can we get frontline stories and activists and individuals that are on the front lines of what climate change actually means back in the media and get them to tell their story. And so for me as a white, privileged, middle-class European activist, it's really important to get educated on these topics, to engage in these conversations, to build coalitions between movements, because at the end of the day, those are the stories that need to be out there, not mine.
Of course. And how can people, well, other activists that have big platforms on social media and other channels, as well as celebrities, influencers, and other people in general, what are some ideas on how they can pass the mic and amplify those voices?
So Pass the Mic is actually speaking to a lot of very famous influencers and people for making sure that at some day, which will be in like a month, these influential and famous people lend their platforms to people on the front lines. And so for one day, an individual on the front lines, for example, someone in the Caribbean, actually gets a platform of millions of people to tell their stories. And these are things that influential people can do. But just in general, if you're not being reached out to, you can do this yourself. There are so many people out there that are looking to raise our voice and that are within the climate movement, and you can find them and they want this. And so for me, I feel like the most important thing being a climate activist, but also being someone with quite a big platform, it's important to continue trying to redistribute that power and redistribute that platform. And so for me, it's also a big challenge, because obviously I have my own activist life, I have the project that I'm doing, but on the side, it's so important to keep thinking about the fact that there are so many more people with so many much more interesting stories and they need to be heard. And so go find them, go look for them, lend your platform to them, but also highlight what they are doing, because they are also doing a lot. And there are some articles of that, there are Instagram accounts, there are movements that can help you with this. Go find, educate yourself and help them on their way, because the people that you can reach are the people they need to reach as well.
Of course. And well, Anuna, with following on this subject of social media and using your platforms to amplify voices and raise awareness, we talked about how little time we have to take action, right? For the next 7 years, maybe, yeah, to actually reach an important change that will allow us to survive. So for anyone listening to you right now and maybe questioning how they can become activists or why they should become activists, what would you say, and why does anyone right now need to become an activist in any kind of form, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not hard to become an activist. There's millions of things you can do, and it starts with just educating yourself, because then if you are educated about what the climate crisis is and how it's affecting human rights, you can also start inspiring your environment. And that's basically what activism is, a domino effect. But you need to be one of the dominoes that falls. And why is it important? Because, I mean, for me, I do it purely out of responsibility, purely because I care about the planet, because I see a system that is destroying the planet, that is destroying people, and I don't want to be a part of that anymore. And so I changed a lot of things in my individual life, like buying sustainable clothes, not eating meat or fish anymore and dairy products, not flying anymore. And these are huge changes that you can do that will have a huge impact on your own carbon footprint. But apart from that, inspiring other people, joining marches, joining actions, joining movements, there's so many out there. There's so many people out there as well that can get you on the ride. And basically where it starts is educating yourself. And so I hope this podcast is one of those tools that can help you with that. But don't be afraid of becoming an activist. I feel like a lot of people in my environment are afraid of actually taking that step because they feel insignificant, and you are not. We need you. We need all of you. However small or big your contribution is, we need you to raise your voice. And so please do join our movement, because it's not the time anymore for applause. It's time to join the march.
Yeah. I mean, every voice and every action counts, and that's what people have, right? They have power, and they just need to use it to fight for a better world. Anuna, I want to talk a little bit about the importance of compensating activists. I've been talking a lot about this through HERO, since it's one of our missions is to create a social currency and a global social network that will allow supporters to get connected with activists to make the activism work sustainable over time. So why is it important, especially for the upcoming years, for activists to start getting paid for their work, especially those activists in the front lines? And why is it important to start, you know, driving some of the resources from people to activists so that they could make their work sustainable over time and increase their impact? How would you see that this can change the game, change the way activism is done, and how would it help to accelerate change?
It's extremely important because there are so many activists that are spending a lot of their free time and energy on activism and therefore also getting financial trouble. And in order to have the resources to actually spend time and energy on activism, you need to make sure that you are financially able to buy food and to have a roof over your head. And so a lot of these activists are, it's not their priority in life because they want to be activists, they want to change the system, but it gets them in huge troubles, especially people on the front lines. So paying activists and getting them financial tools to do their activism is a hugely important thing, and it's not really being talked about right now in movements or in just in the world in general. And it is because activism should be voluntarily, and that's how people look at it. That's been taken for granted. But activists are literally changing the world. Activists are literally trying to mobilize people to create a platform for politicians to push through their policies. It's an extremely important job, especially now during a climate crisis. And also it will never end, because the climate crisis is not going to end. And the emissions are still rising, and it's going to be a super long-term generation thing. And so therefore, we need to make sure that we have a network of activisms, organizations of lots of activisms that are able to just spend all of their time and energy on the activism, because they do such an important job in civilization and also for politicians to actually implement their policies, that it's ridiculous that it's just been taken for granted that they should just, you know, do that in their voluntary time.
Yeah, I think that time has passed where, as you said, activism was expected to be done out of a sense of responsibility and altruism, and just out of this sense of responsibility. But I think that Yeah, we need more activists to be doing this full time, activists like yourself and others in the front lines and in other parts of the world. So I think that if we don't start having this type of conversations around compensation, around creating a system for the common good that will allow activists to have resources to improve their activism, to increase their reach, their communication channels, and just, you know, increase their impact overall, I think that we need to really have these conversations and normalize the fact that activism doesn't mean free work, right? Free labor.
No, absolutely.
So yeah, we need to start building a system together as a movement, as activists, and hopefully Hero will soon launch the app that will allow this to happen. But obviously it's not just launching an app. It's changing the whole system, getting activists to work together and creating this new culture of, you know, compensating activists and getting other people involved in the movement to act as supporters. So, Anuna, so we can start closing. I wanted to ask you, what does it mean for you to be a hero?
For me, being a hero is understanding that we are living in a world that we did not choose. And the system that I'm living in right now, I did not choose it. I think it's unequal. I think it's horrible. I think people are dying because of it. And for me, being a hero is not just looking at it and taking it for granted, but questioning everything, taking responsibility and fighting it. And this is what I will do for the rest of my life.
Anuna, thank you so much for the amazing work that you're doing to inspire millions of young activists out there to use the power of their voices and take action to build a better future for all.
Thank you very much for getting me on this podcast and doing everything that you're doing. I think it's so extremely valuable and I love to collaborate and I hope we will be working together more in the future.
Of course, thank you so much for everything that you're doing and I'll see you on the global strike this Friday.
Yes, amazing. I'll see you there. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you. Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of our Hero Podcast. Remember to subscribe and to follow us on Instagram and Twitter as Hero Activism. See you next time.